Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
All them dogs are counting down, about to put the anchor down. Hotty toddy, who's it gonna be? Cowbells and swamp. The Aggies wrong. There's nothing like the SEC.
Back here on Darren Donick and Chase. This show is brought to you by Blue Note Juke Joints. Smoother than smooth. You'll hear that open today starting at 2 o'clock on 94.9, because every day, Monday through Friday from 2 until 6, you can hear our next guest, and he joins us every Thursday at this time. Paul Feinbaum is on the line, brought to you by Gary Force Acura and MTGRT.com, your live and local mortgage expert. Paul, good morning. How you doing?
I am doing great. It's just nice to talk about sports after the last 48 hours in this country. Hope you guys are going to be okay.
It is refreshing, isn't it? And I look forward to it. Yeah, I look forward to it every day this week for sure. I want to start just because, you know, we're only able to talk to you on Thursday. I would have obviously brought this up at the beginning of the week, but I know you had Steve Spurrier on your show here, I guess, a couple of days ago, and asked him about the incident that happened at halftime. I've said on the show this week, Paul, I think Dan Mullen is a fantastic football coach. That he did an unbelievable job at Mississippi State, and he's doing good things at Florida. I thought his actions in what he did on Saturday, as I was watching, was inexcusable. I was so incredibly disappointed at how he handled all of that. I just can't believe that, quite honestly, Greg Sankey, who I also think has done a good job and is a good commissioner, they didn't hit him with a lot harder sanction. I mean, $25,000 fine. I mean, that's like fining me a dollar and telling me don't do it again. I mean, give me a break. What were your thoughts of what happened?
Oh, he was also reprimanded by Sankey, whatever that means. Right. I feel the same way. And you know what you asked me about Spurrier. Remember, is an ambassador or whatever to Florida. He has an office there. He's a big supporter. But he very tactfully took a shot at Mullen by saying it shouldn't have happened. Both teams were wrong. And we always, meaning when he was a coach, instructed our teams never to fight. We didn't allow it at practice. We didn't allow it during the game. So that was a fairly strong comment if you interpret it in Spurrier ease. And I was even more baffled by the, maybe I shouldn't be, but by the fan support. He's a great coach. He was just standing up for his player. Had he not done that? And I will say that had the official done his job, none of this would have happened. But Mullen ran out there like a maniac.
Yeah.
And then the whole thing that got even more complex. So he shows up after the game in Darth Vader outfit. We all know it's Halloween, Dan, and he said, well, I promised my kids. Okay, so take it off after you walk in. You don't have to wear it the whole time. It just looked like he was laughing at everything. And if that had been an isolated incident, fine. You can say he had a bad day, but it was on top of, you know, calling for 90,000 at the swamp and, you know, belittling COVID and then having his team get decimated by it for 2 weeks. He's had a miserable 4 weeks.
And he came out of the tunnel to get the – after he went in the tunnel, came back out to get the crowd into it. I was like, really?
Yeah.
Come on.
I mean, if it wasn't so serious, I mean, you could say that, you know, maybe he had some after effect of the virus and had lost a couple of screws, because that's exactly what he looked like.
So with that being said, how do you think this Florida-Georgia matchup is going to play out on Saturday?
Every time I start to think Georgia is going to win, I see, you know, they've got more problems. They've got LeCown out, who's their best defensive player. Pickens, the wide receiver, is questionable. So, I mean, they have some serious problems. And on top of that, they have a very pedestrian quarterback, while Kyle Trask is outstanding on the other side. I mean, there's a school of thought that somehow, in spite of all this, Florida still can't get over the hump. I don't know. I mean, I think that the thing that concerns me the most about Georgia is all the injuries and the fact that Stetson Bennett is still the quarterback.
Yeah. Looks like we had Tim Hasselbeck on yesterday. It looks like Louisville, Virginia has postponed. Wisconsin, Purdue, that is canceled. So that's now two games the Badgers have not played. Who knows how long this is going to go on. We've talked about this already with you. Now Pac-12 is entering the picture. We had Maction last night all over the place on a Wednesday night. But these conferences, now that they've came racing back to the party, but they've got no margin of error, Paul. If they have this stuff creep up, they're just going to miss games, and there's no place to make them up.
No, and there's already some speculation that I think it's Cal and Washington might not happen. So no league had less wiggle room than the Pac-12 with only seven games. And or six, I think, plus one, and now you may lose a game there. It's I hate to be an I told you so guy, but I mean these people did it to themselves. I still haven't heard a sound reason why they shut down when they did, and if they just done the right thing and said, hey, we're going to pause here for a while, like the SEC. They wouldn't have been in this position. But, you know, the Wisconsin thing is important because, you know, they're a contender. They were a top 10 team. And they were they're probably not really given a good shot, but maybe the only team that had a real shot in the Big Ten championship game at slowing Ohio State down. So that is a big deal. And for those who haven't followed it closely, if they don't make it in time back for next week's game against Michigan, they will not be eligible for the Big Ten championship.
Boy, that is tough, because you only have a certain amount of time. Everybody wants to play, but you have to do what you have to do. That's what worries me, Paul. Is you get put in a position, right, where you're tempted to make a decision for the wrong reason. Like you have to find a way to play, but it may not be the right thing to do.
No, they could have played according to the protocol, but Barry Alvarez, I think, made a good decision. I mean, they were in no position to put a respectable team out there, and you don't want that. I mean, we watch that every week with Vanderbilt.
Sure.
I don't know whose scholarship and who's not. It doesn't matter. And it's embarrassing to see an SEC team that just gets rolled over every week. Well, now we're beginning to add Mississippi State to that list as well. So it will be interesting to see how that game turns out. But it was always the fear, and I think there's another thing to be concerned about for the last quarter of the season. I mean, we haven't quite moved to that point, but the teams that are done, the Vanderbilts, the Mississippi States, we'll get to Tennessee in a minute. Yeah. You wonder what they're going to have left, and I don't want to hear this. Where this is big time football, and these guys put their guts on the line every week. Most of them do, but as you start turning the corner toward mid to late November, and you're 1-6, and have no chance of going anywhere, and especially if you're a prospect, what do you care?
Well, as you were pointing out, Paul, you know. The COVID thing is a factor for sure, but Vanderbilt, you know, as we look at it from a closer lens here, there's struggles over a long period of time, but there's levels of it, right? And they're slipping to a level that looks a lot like the end of some coaching tenures of the past. And there, you want to be fair, but all the things you just mentioned, that I don't know if they have much of a choice if it doesn't get any better.
Yeah, I mean, you can only pull the card out, so many times about, you know, what a class program Derek Mason runs and what a really good guy he is.
I mean, and those things are true, for sure.
Has anyone ever heard that before? I've heard it a million times.
Yeah.
You guys have heard it 10 million times.
I've said it a million times.
You just have to finally get to a point where the program's, you know, at least has some traction. And it doesn't right now, and I don't think anyone thought it would based on what we heard in the off season. But you tell me. I mean, how many seasons has Mason been there? Six, seven, longer? I mean, it's to the point now where there's no reason to think it's going to get any better.
So let's get to Arkansas and Tennessee. I'll start with the Arkansas part, and I'm sure Chase will hit you with the Tennessee part of the equation here. I know you guys have done, you know, some real good analysis on your show about how Arkansas has made a jump here. So what's the best nugget you think you've come up with in terms of how they've improved so rapidly and now they're sitting there with Tennessee coming to town, and it's a great opportunity for them to take another step forward.
Well, I think the number one reason is Barry Odom on defense. And, you know, what Sam Pittman did was he admitted, hey, I don't really know how to be a head coach. I've never been one before, so I'm going to hire somebody that can help me. And that was his first hire. It was really a smart hire. Odom's always been a good defensive coach. He was mediocre as a head coach. And so he brought some toughness to the defense. You know, Briles, I think, has given the offense a pulse as opposed to the just, you know, glitz and paint by numbers of Chad Morris, and it's got some traction. And I think overall, they're doing some things they probably shouldn't be doing. I mean, they're winning a few games. They almost, you know, beat Auburn. They're competitive. And here we go with this Tennessee game now, where I don't know what to believe or make out of Tennessee. I mean, it's a critically important game. For this reason, if you can't go on the road and beat Arkansas, which was projected to be the worst team in the West and the second worst team overall, then your season is effectively over, and that's what's at stake for Jeremy Pruitt Saturday.
We're talking to Paul Feinbaum of the SEC Network and ESPN, and I want to go back to something you just said about Sam Pittman. You know, saying he's never been a head coach before, and leaning on somebody like Barry Odom. Do you feel that? That just doesn't happen as much, and that's why you see some of these guys that are big-time assistants and big programs, and then they get their first shot at it, and they struggle because they're maybe not willing to admit what they don't know. And I think that that's a flaw in all of us, of sometimes you just can't admit what you don't know. But have you seen that?
I've had a lot of first-year head coaches tell me that they really didn't know how to manage their time. And sometimes it depends on who the coach is, but if you're an unknown, so to speak, it's not like Nick, you know, we're talking about Nick Saban here, but you get carried away by saying thank you and yes to everybody, and everyone wants a piece of your time. And I'm not talking about in a year like this when things are restricted, but in a normal year, hey, can you come to my, you know, touchdown club? Can you come to the booster club? Any chance you want to go to Augusta with me? And I mean, all these things sound great, but they take up time, and that's where a lot of coaches make mistakes. They also make mistakes on hiring, where, you know, they're usually former assistants, and they get inundated, and they hire friends, and they as opposed to filling needs. And you know, there's still some debate in relation to Jeremy Pruitt. About his staff. There's a tug of war. Does he have a good staff? Does he not? He's not somebody who I think has mismanaged his time. As someone who I think is a good evaluator, he's been slow to adjust. And when you can't find a quarterback in your third year that is better than average, it is also going to haunt you.
Paul, he named Jarrett Garantano the starter for Saturday's game against Arkansas. So he did say they're sticking with him, but how short do you think the leash will be for Garantano?
It should be extremely short. I know that's his security blanket, but for what reason I don't know. But and that's why I think this week is interesting. If they lose this game, that would be the end of Jarrett Garantano to me. And you know, see if you can find somebody that will hopefully save your job the following season, because I think that's where we will be. And by the way, a win in this conversation doesn't happen again, at least maybe till the end of the year. But that's how dire this is. And for those who are saying, well, we only have three losses. Well, you have to study the schedule. And the schedule is treacherous for Tennessee right now. This should be an automatic win. And after that, I think there's only one more.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. I read a tweet, and I just wanted to get your thoughts on this. I mean, we know Harrison Bailey, the freshman, is waiting in the wings, and he's the guy that everybody's just kind of looking at. But somebody threw out there, should Tennessee maybe do like Arkansas did, find the transfer, the grad transfer, and go that route, because fans are, you know, they're in win-now mode. They want to get this thing turned around. Do you think that would be the right move if Harrison Bailey shows that he's not quite there yet? Maybe try and find that transfer, whoever that may be?
Yeah, I think you have to do it. I mean, it's the new way of college football. I mean, whether it's the grad transfer, whether it's just a normal transfer, a lot of programs have saved themselves. You know, Arkansas has Felipe Franks. Ohio State, LSU this year with Justin Fields, LSU last year. I mean, this is the way it goes, and I would not. I mean, it depends on who comes up, but I certainly wouldn't say, okay, well, we're not taking one because you know we think we have a really good quarterback. So you never know on a quarterback. You guys know that from whether it's the NFL and in particular college. I mean, just look at the Georgia situation. Jamie Newman, who looked like the automatic starter, he was a serviceable, maybe a better than average quarterback, maybe even better than that at Wake Forest, was supposed to be the starter. And when he opted out, everyone, all the sycophants from Georgia said, well, he left because he got beat out. And I'm still trying to figure out who beat him out.
Fair point. He is Paul Feinbaum, SEC Network, and ESPN, the Paul Feinbaum Show. You can hear it weekdays starting at 2 on ESPN 94.9. Paul, appreciate it as always.
It's always a blast. See you next week, guys. Thank you.
Yeah, we'll do it again next week at 10:15. Paul Feinbaum brought to you by Gary Force Acura and MTGRT.com, your live and local mortgage expert. Much more coming here on Darren, Donick, and Chase. But, Darren, give us a word.
I'm going to give you a word about DraftKings. Yeah, you've heard us talking about it. It is live and up and running in our wonderful state of Tennessee. Yeah, mobile sports betting is here, and you can be a part of the action on DraftKings. You may know them as the leading daily fantasy brand, but they have taken their passion for sports, and they've gone a lot farther by developing America's top-rated sportsbook app. This isn't some offshore operation like a lot of these gambling sites. DraftKings is a legitimate sportsbook based right here in the U.S. With the DraftKings Sportsbook app, you can bet from wherever, whenever. You don't even have to leave your home. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app right now. Use the code 1025GAME. When you sign up for a limited time, all new users can get a deposit bonus up to $1,000. Once again, that code 1025GAME and get your deposit bonus up to $1,000. That's only on DraftKings Sportsbook app. You must be 21 years of age or older. Tennessee only. Deposit bonus requires 25 times playthrough. Restrictions do apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, you can call or text the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789.
Hey, it is Ryan Seacrest here. If you love great games and a little extra excitement to your day, I got something fun for you. Chumba Casino and I have teamed up to create an exclusive online social casino game. It's called Ryan Seacrest 10K Ways. It's fun and free to play, just like all your favorites from Chumba Casino. And every spin brings 10,000 ways to keep the good times going. Check it out and play for free today at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.